Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi everyone, before we start the show, I just need to put a little disclaimer on here because I had some major sound issues with this episode and I am so disappointed. I'm so sad. Basically, I didn't know this, but one of my microphones was broken. I normally record in a studio, so I'm not used to having to check my microphones, and I didn't realize it. I did a sound test and everything, it seemed fine, but yeah, it's really, really sad. However, this episode with Tata Harper is so interesting, and I've been dying to get her on this show, so I didn't want to scrap the entire episode. I really hope you can look past it just for this one episode and try to listen. I know some parts are really hard to listen to, but give it a shot. She has so many interesting things to say. I love her products, and she really comes at skincare and beauty from a unique perspective. So give it a listen. Try to bear with me on this. My sincere apologies, and I hope you can still enjoy it.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Line. Today, I am so excited to have the amazing Tata Harper. And Tata, this is the very first time we've ever met.
I know. I can't believe it. I feel like I know you for so long.
Well, I didn't know that you would feel that way, but I definitely feel that way because I've been using your products for such a long time. And I feel like I know so many mutual friends who always talk about you, and they're like, you'd love Tata so much.
Oh, you know, and it's likewise. So many people are like, you're going to love Esty, and my team is obsessed with you.
Oh.
They're always like, she's such a great supporter of us in the UK. Oh. So maybe that's why I feel so familiar with you.
Well, that is lovely to hear. I was supposed to come to Vermont to your farm.
I know. What a pity you couldn't make it.
I know. It was, I had something that I just couldn't get out of. And trust me, I would have rather been on the farm. So let's just kind of rewind for anybody who has no idea what your skincare brand is all about. How do you kind of describe it? Because currently I'm looking at it and it's such a gorgeous luxe brand. It's a green brand, non-toxic, etc. But how do you, if somebody says, oh, Tata, what do you do? Like, what do you say?
You know, I like to talk about our line as kind of like nature meets science for the very first time. You know, I am not a beauty chemist. I'm a Latin woman that I'm an engineer, and I had always loved beauty because Latin American women love beauty. But I had never thought that I would become a beauty entrepreneur. And this really happened because once my stepfather got diagnosed with cancer, and I went with him in the United States to so many doctors and so many centers and so many places where they would basically have the same piece of advice. It's like, hey, check your lifestyle choices. What do you do every day? What do you get in touch with every day? And then all of a sudden, they were asking me to help him find new things. And I was helping myself also find new things. And I changed a lot of things with him. You know, guys do very basic things. So it was just about the deodorant, the toothpaste, cleaning products, things like that. But then I was having a really hard time switching my Swiss super high-tech skincare line to something natural. And I remember going to a lot of like natural food stores to look at natural beauty, or like little apothecaries where they used to carry natural, you know, skincare. And I realized that the whole concept of natural skincare was very simple for me. You know, I've never been a beauty minimalist or a like a simple beauty girl, which there's a lot of people that are, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just talking from my own personal experience and point of view. Like, I've been exactly the opposite. I'm like a beauty maximalist. and then so none of that really worked for me. And then when you go to department stores or beauty stores, and I would be like, please, guys, help me do the natural thing. What do you have? They would show me all the legacy brands with algaes, with roses, with orchids, with botanicals. But they all, no matter which one it was, you turn around the box and there they were, all of those synthetic chemicals, you know. And what I realized is that a lot of those synthetic chemicals were not necessarily the ones that were actives to make your skin beautiful, but they were there to do a lot of the functional things in formulas. You know, formulas are so much more than just the active ingredient. So I was like, oh, so much parabens, oh, so much petroleum, which are mainly added for feel and silicone, and you know, like all the silicones are mainly there for feel and texture, or so much propylene glycol, which is antifreeze, or so much, you know, PEG 30, that it's like an emulsifier, like all the PEGs, which are, you know, forms of like heavy duty ingredients. So I'm like, wow, I didn't realize that my eye cream had so many ingredients that are in my car.
I mean, I wasn't actually aware of that either until you've just said it. I kind of look at the back of a back of boxes and the ingredients, and I just have no idea what any of them are. And I think that's the way most consumers are looking at products. Obviously, it's getting so much better, but how are we meant to know what all of these things are? It really takes a lot of research.
Well, to know what they are, it was really just about Googling.
Yeah.
So to answer your first question, it was like, I wanted to do a product that it was like, okay, how do we do a product that it's 100% natural, not clean? Because I know that now we're used to the word clean, that this terminology, which in my opinion, is a very temporary term. You know, in a couple of years, everything will be clean, because it's like, imagine, it's like if things are not clean, that means that they're dirty. But clean is really just about avoiding controversial chemicals. And it's really more focusing on like what the product doesn't have than what the product actually do have. And for some brands, it's like two ingredients and a natural ingredient, or removing parabens and adding lavender, or removing six ingredients. It's an amazing effort by the beauty industry, honestly. And I think that it's great, but it has nothing to do what we do. What we're really bringing to the table is, number one, products that are completely synthetic free and non-artificial. So everything in the formula is natural. Number two, we really challenge a lot of concepts from the beauty industry, because a lot of like the best practices in beauty revolve around things that I challenged. And I realized also, like, in beauty was having a moment of a lot of disruption, but it's a lot of like communication disruption or distribution disruption, meaning not selling in stores, selling on Instagram or selling online. But there's no true innovation when you look at the sector closely and you look at formulations or even packaging or even like how things are done. So I wanted, number one, to challenge this whole idea of one active. Like, why one active? You know, like, that's so cheap. Yeah. Just the vitamin C, or just the vitamin A, or just the hyaluronic acid. Then you have to buy so many products,
yeah,
to be able to have something like really hard working. So that was number one. I wanted to have, since the beginning, products that had multiple active ingredients, and two, that they were formulated from scratch, not necessarily started from a base. I know that this is something that consumers don't realize necessarily, but beauty is extremely subcontracted. You know, like if you want to start the SD skincare line, you go to a lab, they show you tons of bases. They will be like, "Ooh, SD, you're Canadian. Ooh, you're from the outside of Toronto. We have this great ingredient that comes from your part of the world. And it's going to be all about who you are as a person and represent your heritage." And when you're like, "No, that sounds gimmicky. I'm not into that. I'm not starting a skincare line to be all about who I am and just do the same base, repurpose the same bases that are all over in different brands, and then just change the one or two ingredients." So that was number one, where I focused on, and it was probably one of the hardest parts really about starting the skincare brand. And I thought, and everybody thought that I was nuts, that number one, you couldn't get results from naturals. But I'm like, but this line has algaes, but this line has roses, but line has orchids. If they wouldn't work, they wouldn't be talking about them. Like, what do you mean? It's like, I just want to talk about change all the other things. So I had to work like 5 years with a lot of scientists to really kind of like re-engineer a lot of like what goes into the making of a cosmetic product and change a lot of those synthetic chemicals and replace them with natural chemicals. So, okay, how do we replace parabens? What are the natural preservatives? And then you start experimenting and then you realize that the Germans make the best natural preservatives. So you add that. Or how do we change all the petroleum silicones? And then you're like, oh my God, there's all these fears that come from safflower from Canada and they do the same thing and they work with transepidermal water loss. Okay, let's change it for that. And it was just really about being patient and working really hard to try to change all these things, because it's not that they were impossible, is that they, a lot of the challenges were more psychological and cultural than technological, honestly. And then two, the rest of the making of a beauty product, which is how do you make it? How do you fill it? How do you distribute it? It's also outsourced. And me as an engineer, I was like, wait, so I'm going to go to a contractor that with my formulas that I've been working on for 5 years that are completely proprietary, that it's like a know-how that really no one has taken the time or the effort to learn how to do. And I'm going to go to this contractor that makes 80 other brands for him to make my brand. But then in order for him to make my brand, he wants to make like 20,000 pieces of each one of my products. So what does that mean? So that means that I'm going to get shipped 20,000 of each. I'm going to be storing them for a really long time. By the time that this gets to my clients, it's going to be one or old and not like super fresh and super effective. Like it's going to be a year old. Or two, it's going to be already expired and I'm going to have had made much more than what I actually need and be super wasteful and have to like throw away all this stuff. So, and then I really hated the idea of like someone making the most important part of my business, like the making of my products, the filling of my products, the bottling of my products. So, and even like the beauty industry relies a lot in like distributors, like even for the distribution of their products. So it's like, I did not want to become like a sales and marketing company. Like I wanted to have a real skincare company because I thought that when I bought skincare products, like that's what the blinds that I was buying, like that's what they're really all about. Like, oh, this comes from Switzerland, from the Alps. And it's like such a disappointment when you realize that it's really not the case. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep that fantasy alive for multiple reasons. And I am going to use my farm that this has lots of barns in it. And it was an old dairy farm, so it had a lot of structures. And I'm gonna gut them out. I'm gonna like completely renovate them, and I am going to have our own labs and our own factories here, so that we can treat the making of our skincare products like food.
So you already had your farm?
I already had my farm. Yeah, I've had the farm for like 18 years.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, in Vermont. So I was like, I want to make every single month all of our products. And by the time that we are done with all of our internal processes and testing and quality control, it's going to be like a month and a half. So they will be in stores like in 2-3 months from the making. So super fresh, as fresh as it can be, really. And our products last a year and a half, like completely fine. So it's perfect. You know, it's perfect. Like I felt so much more comfortable. And also, doing this also allowed me, instead of giving money to subcontractors to do what I don't want to deal with, I am able to invest that money back into my formulas, into my packaging to make it super sustainable. And also I feel that today, it's not just about making amazing products. It's really about also designing great systems and processes for making those products so that you can be responsible, cut back on carbon footprint, and think about all these things, right? In a very responsible way, instead of just like shipping goop from one side to the other, without knowing, you know, without knowing these things. And because we, you know, the tagline of the company is kind of like next generation beauty, it was really about challenging all of these things, you know, that it's not just about, hey, we're natural. It's about like, hey, we're natural, but you know what? We're going to give you global technology from all over the world, not about just one ingredient like vitamin C and vitamin A that are ingredients from the 80s and that I don't get why we're still talking about them. I love them, but I mean, the technology of skincare has gone way past that, you know, in terms of like results that you can get and all of the technological advances that you see out there. And number two, we are actually going to get you, we're going to change the conversation a little bit, and we're going to teach you about like the difference of using something super fresh and super good for you. And also creating a company that it's transparent and that it's really meant for the consumers of the future, that, that, you know, that, and that it's really building into the company a lot of these values that we don't do for marketing. I rarely talk about this stuff. It's like, it's things that we do just because that's how we need to do business in the future. Mm. You know, that's how we all need to think. And especially as a luxury product where, you know, luxury rarely gives clients the opportunity to be sustainable, you know, and sometimes it's even hard as a customer. It's like, you know, we put all this pressure like, oh my God, how, you know, be responsible, do the right thing. But if the producers of products are not doing the right things, what, you know, we are very limited in what we actually can do. And I feel that as a producer of a luxury product where you have a higher price point, you can actually spend the money buying a lot of expensive raw materials like naturals and organics, or that you can use glass. You know, glass is something that it's hard for beauty, because in beauty, a lot of the innovation, specifically for treatments, comes in plastics and in acrylics, rarely in glass. Glass is typically used in beauty for fragrance. So you have to invest a lot of money to do glass, because you have to do your own custom molds. Glass is a more expensive packaging to buy. You know, our boxes are made with like forest certified woods or 100% post-consumer, or, you know, all of the inserts are made from pulps instead of plastic. So it's, you know, us in this space, we have the capability of being able to offer all of that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I've always thought that your brand was really at the forefront of not only formulas, but was it the first kind of luxury green beauty brand?
Yeah. The first one. Before, natural beauty was really, you know, kind of like in dusty shelves of like supermarkets and they were catering to a different clientele. And they still cater to that clientele. And there's nothing wrong with that clientele, by the way. I don't want to sound like elitist or that I don't believe in that. Like, they actually were the pioneers first. What I realized is like, hey, that segment of the market doesn't cater for a woman that wants super superior results or that wants like the latest in anti-aging technology. They cater to a very wide audience, which is an audience that wants something that it's natural and that it's simple and that it's minimal. But there's another big audience out there of people that actually want the exact opposite. And we were able to actually make it happen for the very first time and think about all these things along the way and create the first completely natural, super high-tech skincare range.
Yeah. Do you as a brand spend a lot of time trying to educate consumers around all of these actives and things, or do people who buy your products already kind of know what they're buying?
I think that for me, it's been, I love educating clients, and I've been doing beauty classes since I launched the brand, because I really am kind of like addicted to that interaction with my clients of like teaching them about everything, not only about how we make them, how it's done, how it is different, but also about like, hey, how do you layer products? What do you use? What's the difference between a serum and an eye cream? What's the difference between a moisturizer or a toner and an essence? Like, I love talking about beauty and teaching people about absolutely everything that I've learned. We do talk about ingredients, but because we have so many ingredients in our products, like we bring ingredients from like 78 countries. Like the last time we counted, we stocked like a total of like almost 500 raw materials in our farm. So it's just like, we don't have like a main ingredient, you know, like we just add a lot of things always with this idea of like, hey, instead of buying so many different single active products, buy something that it's super hardworking, that it's super concentrated, so that you don't have to buy 10 different things,
yeah,
but you end up buying one that works really, really hard for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to talk about ingredients. I do talk about some of the ones that I love the most, but it's hard. Like, for example, Elixir Vitae, that it's this collection, you know, the Supernatural collection. We just updated the technology, changed the packaging, basically changed everything about it. It has 72 actives.
Oh, it's my, like, gosh.
Yeah, like this guy here, it's like a powerhouse. This is like your daily dose of injectables. Like, it gives you, it has technology available today topically to give you those, the similar effects as injectables. So, you know, people get injectables to get kind of like the Botox effect. So this has like four of those neurotransmitter peptides that they work differently. They don't paralyze your muscle, but they just help kind of like smooth out wrinkles within hours.
Well, I'm not going to lie, I have never considered Botox in my life. And one day I woke up recently and I was like, I have wrinkles on my forehead. Uh-huh. I need to get Botox. So before I get Botox, I am trying that.
Yeah. It's really
We're talking about the Elixir Vitae. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Elixir Vitae serum. Vitae. And it has an eye serum as well.
Okay.
It's kind of like the little baby sister. So yeah, so the idea is like, whether it's someone like you that you're like, you know what, I'm never going to consider this stuff, or someone that actually does them, but she likes the idea of like do them less often and like reinforcing those effects daily, like this is the serum for you.
Yeah.
It's truly amazing. And it also helps voluminize the skin, which is the other thing that you get injectables for, because as we age, we lose a lot of fat pad and also our skin gets thinner. So it has a lot of raw materials to help with that as well.
Right. So let's back up a little bit. So you decide, I want to create this brand. You've decided that you want to bring all of the labs to the farm. What are the first products like that you kind of created? Were you thinking in your head, what am I going to do with this brand? Or did you always have a clear vision of what you wanted Tata Harper Skincare to be? And did you always know what products you wanted to create?
I wanted to come up with a line. I didn't want to come up with just like one or two products. Like, for me, I wanted to create the products that I was using every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I always been with this philosophy. Like, I mean, my mom has been always like this beauty obsessed person that since we're young, she's always been kind of like very ritualistic and telling us about the power of consistency and using things every day, morning and night. So I was always like cleansing my skin, doing an essence. Then after the essence, I would always do like a serum and an eye cream, moisturizer. I loved oils. I love masks. So I came out with 12 products and I did not launch until I had those 12 products.
So right away you launched with 12 products.
Yeah.
That's kind of unheard of. I hear most people kind of launch with around 5, but maybe that's not true. That's just what a lot of brand founders tell me. 5 products.
I mean, maybe it is true. Honestly, I don't come from the beauty industry and I never looked at anything that the beauty industry did for something that I wanted to replicate, other than I was very clear on the distribution channels.
Right.
Like that, I was very clear. It's like, I need to be in a place where people buy high quality products, and that was it. Mm. And also I challenged, even like, you know, like when I launched, there was like, well, Tata, if you are in department stores, you can't be in spas because spas only have spa specific lines. And I even challenged that, and yeah, I started selling to spas that wanted to carry our products. And the only thing that I was really, that I really knew is that I wanted to be in places where my customers were. I didn't really look at anything else that the beauty industry was doing I'm going to try to do that, because it's like almost like when I hired a consultant to show me, guys, how do I do this? Like, I want to become a beauty entrepreneur. I want to do this line. I had this vision. I had no idea how big, how small, how much. I have no idea. I just wanted to create the best beauty products in the world. It was never about like, how big am I going to become? Or I'm going to start this and I'm going to become it really huge, get 20 distributors, get immediate distribution over the world, get my sales really high, and then like flip it and sell it to like Estee Lauder. Like, yeah. No. That was never in my mind. So I almost like looked at a lot of the things that the beauty industry did as like, exactly things that I did not want to do.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. Is, you know, I think you can apply that to any industry. Why would you want to look at what everyone else in the industry is doing and replicate that? I mean, you're trying to do something different, I'm assuming. And I think that's the mistake a lot of people make. It's just constantly comparing yourself to something that already exists and then doing the same thing.
Even with the color of our packaging, like
I wanted to talk about that.
I remember one time I was like with my partner in the business, Henry, and I was like, Henry, you know, all of the skincare lines are like white or gold or black or, you know, the same colors. And I feel that this comes from our farm, you know, from this like green, like Vermont. It's called Vermont because like a lot of French people came to the area and it's so green that they call it Vermont. But I see. And then like, and obviously now it's Vermont, but it's so green. It's like neon green with yellow dandelions growing all over the farm. And I wanted to keep those colors, and it was so controversial. I remember I had to like convince my branding agency at the time that we wanted to do them green. And they were like, that is such a mistake. People don't like green products on their face. Like, and it's really about going with your gut, you know. Yeah. Like that's what I realized a lot of times is sometimes you just need to own your decisions and really just be like, you know what? I feel that this is what's the right thing. And even though there's not consensus around it, like, you know that it's right, you know? And I sometimes, you know, and when I launched, like, I had moments where I really questioned so many things, right? Because you were doing things so differently. And it's like, it felt like a struggle all the time. I had to be convincing people about the different ideas and how I wanted to bring this to life and show up in the world and do things. And it was really about sticking to those instincts and being like, this is how I feel that this needs to be done, and really doing it. And that's something that I actually, an advice that I give to all the entrepreneurs that come to me, it's like, stick to your instincts. And also, especially now in the environment that we're living in and how the world affairs are really, you know, how things are really at today. It's like, do products and do things that really make the life of your customers better. Because we don't need more eye cream. We don't need more serums. We don't need more shampoos. We don't need more. There's so much of so much. It's like, you don't need so many things. Like, what you need is to like elevate the quality of life of your customers. Do the right thing. Be responsible. You know, engage in practices that are responsible. And do the right thing, you know? Like, I really encourage that. And know that it's hard. It's a hard problem. We all face it. They're not easy decisions. They're not quick. They're not cheap. But they're the right ones, you know? And I think that is what we need more of today, honestly.
Absolutely. I love talking about intuition, especially intuition, you know, from a woman's point of view, and especially a woman in business as well. Because I think so many times you have intuition, you have this idea in your gut, you know, it's that really hard thing to pinpoint, and you can kind of feel it, you can kind of hear it, and then you try to go with it, and somebody, you know, like your ex-branding agency would be like, well, that's wrong. And I think so many times it's easy to just kind of roll over and be like, well, you know better. But it's like, who really knows better, you know?
No, but listen, so when it's actually a great point, because it's like, when you hire experts.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Those are experts in telling you what are the best practices today, how are things done, and if you are really not challenging the status quo, they are the experts, right? Like, they know how to do it. Like, by no means I'm saying that they didn't know anything or that, you know, like they're not really experienced, but when you're trying to do something totally different, you know, sometimes those experts serve the role of telling you how things are done, and then for you to really think about what they're saying and see, how does this apply to this new concept that I'm trying to bring into the world? Like, do that make sense? And challenging those experts, it's really hard because you're like, shit, I'm paying them, you know, to give me all this advice, to tell me how to do it, because they really know how to do it. They've been seeing it, doing it for 30 years. And here I am, a total like amateur, questioning all this. And but then there's like a little voice inside of your belly saying like, Dada, this is how you need to do it. And, you know, yeah. And it's great that you get that perspective, but it's just really not applying to you and really sticking to that.
Yeah. And it is really hard sometimes to feel it and hear that voice because it is so clouded. But I think sticking with it is something that, do you think it gets easier with age?
You know what? I don't know if it gets easier with age, but you know when it gets easier? When you're very passionate about something and you're very clear about what you want to do. Mm. Then it gets very clear, I feel, in my opinion. Yeah. I don't know. And this has applied in areas in all ages of my life. Like sometimes when I'm uncertain about what I want to do, you hear and then you make wrong decisions. You don't hear to what you are doing. But then sometimes when you're really clear, then that's when you are like, no, but wait, oh, a second, like that's not like exactly like that would go against X mm-hmm. or Y that I'm really envisioning.
Yeah.
And I think that it's that. It's like I feel that vision brings clarity to all of these decisions, and also it's easier to be like, no. This is that my gut is telling me that I need to go that route, because if I do what you're saying, which sounds very practical and very easy and really quick, and I don't need to invest that much money because I don't need to create facilities, or I don't need to invest 5 years in R&D with crazy scientists to help me how to make things that don't exist and how to try new things. Things will get really practical. So it's sometimes you're like your practical side, you know, in struggling with like the vision. So, and then you need to be like, no, I need to go back to the vision and be like, okay, yes, that is very practical. And I'm sure that it will be up and running in my business in 6 months. And I don't need to actually invest all my savings into this, which is really risky and really scary, but then I won't be able to do what I'm envisioning. And that's where I think that it's all about, yeah. You know, like that's getting to that zone.
For sure. And I think sometimes when you do hire consultants, et cetera, and they're giving you their opinion, it's even if it's, you know, something that you don't agree with, that is so valuable because then you can really feel, no, that's not the way I want to go, or I want to go this way. So I think all opinions are valid. I sometimes am guilty of asking too many people for too many opinions, but I think it helps me sometimes see my own vision.
I am guilty of that too. I ask for many opinions of many people, and a lot of times it's very valuable. Because a lot of times what they say reinforce a lot of the things that you were saying. It's not that every single time all the experts' advice I find to be irrelevant. No, I'm just saying like there were a lot of very structural things that didn't apply. But there's many times where you speak to people that have been doing things in your space, maybe not in beauty, but in the luxury space for many years. And they're like, no, Tata, I think that you should do it that way. And then you're like, ah, okay, this resonates. Like, I think that it's actually like really good to speak to a lot of people and just see what they have to say, but then ultimately make your own decision and whatever makes sense to what you're doing.
Do you like keep a journal, or how do you keep your thoughts straight? That's just something I'm wondering for my own personal curiosity.
My thoughts straight. I I don't know. I'm pretty, sometimes I'm very specific about things. And I think that if you ask my team, they will tell you that I am just extremely, like I zero in into very specific things. And it's just like, I am pretty clear about what we stand for, mm-hmm. you know, and what works, what doesn't work. There's a lot of things that I have just an amazing assistant that it's called Chelsea that I love her to death. And also like an amazing team that just helped me keep things straight too, because it's like without them, I would not be able to do what I do. Honestly, like they go so above and beyond and they love what we all collectively do, you know, and they help keep a lot of things straight and follow up with things and do a lot of things that I just at this time of the business, I just really rely on them to help me and to help the business in so many ways. So I feel that having an amazing team that really believes in what you stand for and what you're doing, it's key. Mm-hmm. It's not just people like looking for a job and that, you know, not that I'm sure that at some, you know, many points of our existence, there's been people that are just like, oh, I need a job and I'm doing all this stuff. But a lot of my core team that I, you know, that I do all my envisioning with and all my execution and my planning, like they're definitely people that are invaluable to me.
Right. It can be really hard to find those people, but once you do and you kind of know that those are your people, oh, that is so helpful, isn't it? To just really trust.
It's like a family. It's really nice.
Okay, so let's zero back in on the products, because I have my own personal favorites.
Which are?
So I love the essence. I also love
like the hydrating floral essence.
Yeah, I don't know the exact names. I'm sorry, Tata. I also love I love your masks. So I love the orangey one. The
resurfacing.
Yeah,
mask.
Resurfacing. And then I love the...
You know that that's our most awarded product?
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I can totally see why. It changes your face.
Yeah. It has like lots of beauty awards under its belt. And and when I'm jet lagged, actually, it's like my go-to for fresh skin. Yeah. Like I immediately look, you know, like I slept all the hours that I haven't slept.
I get asked a lot of questions like, how does your skin look so fresh? And I honestly sometimes do not feel that way, but it's always about the exfoliating masks. I don't care what anyone says, it's about exfoliating and then hydrating. What else do I love? Yeah, so I love the green masks. My friend Yana, I don't know if you know her, but she has an account called Gel Cream. You must.
Yeah, of course.
So,
we love her.
Yeah, everyone loves her. So she's a good friend of mine. And she posted the other day about your body balm. Mm-hmm. And I haven't tried that yet. But she said if you're really lazy and you just slather yourself in the body balm, it will hydrate you for like 2 weeks. So she loves that.
This is like an anti-aging firming treatment for your whole body. So it's very decadent.
Yes.
Like I use it. I don't use it every day. Honestly, I try to use our body oil daily, but that balm, I slather it on like the weekends, like when I kind of like do like the dry brushing and then I exfoliate with our body scrub and then I do the mask. And I typically do that with my kids. Like I've been teaching them, even my little boy, like he loves. He's actually like the most engaged in the line. He's always like, Mom, so tell me, what issues do you have now with the line? Like, where are you expanding or what are you making? He loves it the most. And it's so fun to, you know, to create those little rituals at home. And I feel that that balm is just like really amazing for that.
Yeah. Well, that's something I love talking about with beauty lovers is the ritual, the beauty rituals. And I think sometimes when I talk to my friends who maybe aren't that interested in beauty, they're kind of like, what do you mean it's a self-care, you know, thing in your life or it's a ritual? Like they just don't understand. I'm like, come sleep over at my apartment, I'm gonna show you. And I get them in the bathtub and I exfoliate them. I mean, I've done this to many people in my life, friends and men that I've dated, but they're always kind of like, at first I don't want to do it, and then I get the scrub out and then I get that body oil out and I relax them. And I think that's so crucial for life, but just enjoying that ritualistic experience that beauty products can give you, especially, you know, luxury quality beauty products that have efficacy.
And you know, that I would say is one of the difference between an approach that a lot of Latin women have towards their beauty products. And I feel that that is what fuels a lot of like this beauty maximalism that we keep talking about, is that for us, and for me growing up, and even for my friends, like, beauty products are not about like a chore that you do at night only, that no one has time for. And it's like annoying. Like, there's some women that it's like actually they are annoyed to having to like wash their face and put moisturizer. It's like, who has time for that? Like, I go to bed with my makeup on. And I am like, but girl, this is like a way of like giving back a little bit of love to yourself.
It's like yoga. I look at it in a similar way to yoga.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I just look at it as like a way, like I, like for example, at this stage of my life where I'm a working mother of three, that I'm always hustling, always on the go with a lot of things on, like those nightly rituals for me are like the beginning of the most relaxing part of my day.
Yes.
It's like, that is like the, like I turn on the bath, I bathe with my kids, we do a lot of things, then we put our creams on. It's like I am giving back to myself because I'm always looking, you know, for everybody else, you know, it's like, as I'm, and I feel that it also plays a lot like the role of like a woman in society nowadays. It's like, you work, you have your kids, like you're the house manager, driver, scheduler. It's like so much that if like, if you don't have that, then I would go nuts. Like, I don't know what I would do without my nightly morning rituals, honestly.
I guess lots of people find that feeling in other things like cooking, etc. I mean, I don't find it in cooking. I mean, I'm a skincare person, but yeah, I also don't understand those people who sleep in their makeup and can't be bothered to. I'm literally like 15 steps and I'm like, I want more. You have a lot of products by now. I don't know how many SKUs you actually have.
Me neither, actually. it's embarrassing, but I don't know. They asked me this the other question. I should know. In the 40s, I think.
Okay. So obviously, I do have room for more steps after my 15 steps. But what are some of your standout products that I've mentioned a few, but what are some of your things that you think maybe need a little bit more love or are real star hero products of your brand?
Before I answer that, can we talk about the steps for a second?
Yes.
Because I feel that, you know, you have 15 steps and I have a lot of steps, but I feel that there are just a couple of steps that are just really key.
Yeah, no, I actually don't have 15 steps. I was exaggerating, but I probably could if I wanted to. So
yeah, me too.
Tell
absolutely
me.
So I, and this is like one of the questions that I get at the most by my clients. It's like, okay, what should I actually be doing? So here's like my beauty philosophy. It's like, I love to exfoliate in the mornings because you wake up and you have a lot of that skin on your face.
Okay. I have to stop you there because I do too. And a lot of people think that's a little bit crazy and maybe harsh in the morning, but actually it creates a perfect base for makeup and it makes me feel alive. But I'm sorry. Carry
on. It really depends, honestly, in what exfoliator you're using. Some are really harsh and you should not be using them daily. But the concept of exfoliating is not crazy because, you know, at night we have like our circadian rhythm, that it's this rhythm that resets a lot of the organs in our body, and our skin is one of them. And what happens at night is that you know, like our skin is an organ that it's in, it goes through a programmed death, like every day. It's like you get new cells, old cells die. Like that's what the skin does every single day. And most of that happens at night. So when you wake up, you have an accumulation of that skin. So that's why I love exfoliating in the mornings. Not because my skin is dirty in the morning, like I just woke up. So not that I think that morning cleansing is that critical, but I do feel that morning exfoliation is really critical so that you take off the buildup.
That is fascinating to me. And I guess that's why sleep is so important, because your body's doing a lot of work at nighttime.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. It's actually like very underrated, the importance of sleep. Sleep is like actually like one of the most important things that you need to do for longevity, for your body, for beauty.
Yeah.
You know, like skincare is just like a piece of a large puzzle. Mm. And, you know, but if you don't sleep, you don't eat well, you're constantly stressed out. Honestly, like what skincare you do is almost irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm a part-time insomniac, so I struggle with sleep a lot. And my mom is actually an insomniac. So sleeping, that, I mean, I need to do a whole new podcast on sleep, but
yeah,
sleep is important, people.
Super important. So anyway, but then at night, I don't exfoliate again. At night, I love to double cleanse because cities are extremely dirty and extremely polluted. So I love to always start with an oil cleanser because oil cleansers are really good to take off makeup, to take off big particles like dirt. All of that is amazing to be cleansed with an oil cleanser. And then I follow with something that works more deep, like our purifying cleanser, for example.
Obsessed.
That it's like a cleanser for pollution. But then after you cleanse, then there are a total of 4 to 5 steps, depending on how far you like to go, that are absolutely critical, in my opinion. So number one is an essence.
I love essences.
Yeah, why? Tell me.
I love essences because they make my skin feel so, so, so hydrated. I actually use 2 essences. I use a mist and then I use a thicker essence. But I just feel like I could never put on a serum on top of skin that didn't have an essence.
Yeah, exactly. So essences are actually great that you mentioned that you feel hydrated, because a lot of people are confused about like, what is a toner and what is an essence? Like, are they the same? And I always explain, no, toners are more about astringency, balancing pH of the skin. Like, they're actually the antithesis of an essence. Essence is about hydration. And also, super importantly, essences have a lot of penetration enhancement. So it's kind of like you want to put your essence on, saturate your skin, and then add your 2 most important anti-aging products.
Yes.
Which are?
Oh, no.
What are your 2 most important anti-aging products?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? You're putting me on the spot.
It's like your serum and your eye cream.
Oh, okay. Okay, serum and eye cream.
Yeah.
I just want to say that someone once told me to look at your skin like a sponge. And you wouldn't put like a serum on a dry, hard sponge. You want to mist your skin so that it's, you know, moist and can absorb more. But yes, serum and an eye cream.
Yeah. So
I thought we were going more like retinols, and I was confused about what I was supposed to say.
That's just ingredients. No, what I meant is like just for your listeners is like you want to do an essence that hydrates, and essences are like elevators of skincare inside of your skin. And then obviously you have an elevator. You don't want to send it empty.
Yeah.
You want to send it with like your serum and your eye cream, which are products that typically have the smaller molecular grade. They work deeper inside of the skin. So they're not treatments that work superficially, they're treatments that work more deeper. So you definitely want the help of an essence to just go and work deeper inside of the skin. And then after you have all your treatment, all your anti-aging, which is typically found in lines in serums and eye creams, then you do your moisturizers, right? And then you can do your face oil, for example. Because oil, a lot of people make the mistake of putting an oil first. And oils are amazing, but oils penetrate everything, but not everything penetrates oil. So if you go and you put it on first, then a lot of like your smaller molecular weight products don't penetrate as well. So this is kind of like a little sequence that it's for maximum absorption so that you can get the most out of your products because the order does matter. And also another thing that I always like to say is that you can change between day and night, like your cleansers, or even like throughout the week, you can change your cleansers, you can change your essences, you can change your moisturizers. Like I do this one during the day, but I do a thicker one at night, or even I do oil or not oil or whatever. But your 2 most important anti-aging products, like your serum and your eye cream, you really need to do them AM and PM, and you need to do the same one so that you can get the results. Because it's like when we test a lot of these products on clinical trials, it's like, or the ingredients or anything, it's like you get those results, cumulative results, by subjects using it every 12 hours, not like every other day, just on the weekend or just at night. No, it's like every 12 hours.
Yes. I mean, as a beauty maximalist myself, I am guilty of trying tons and tons of products and switching it up constantly. But actually, I think that is something I've been doing while I do this thing called empty products, where I use up products completely. So I think I do need to keep using that same serum and same eye cream.
Yeah. Like switch to everything else.
Yeah.
Like I know the temptation is like really high out there. And I totally get it. But just keep your serum and your eye cream consistent so that you can really see what it does.
Yes.
Because if not, like you're just wasting money, honestly.
Yeah. So skincare, should it be thinnest to thickest products? That's kind of the way I like to think about it. But I can see how it's super confusing. I mean, I was with my mom the other day. She's like, how do you know what to put on when? I'm like, thinnest to thickest. And then,
exactly. Super easy. Thinnest to thickest. And also Another thing that it's kind of like another thing that I like to talk about is like face oils don't hydrate the skin. You do need a moisturizer.
Thank you. Because sometimes okay, this happened to me the other day. I have to vent. But my friend was like, my skin is so dry. I'm just slathering oil on my face all the time. And in my head, I was like, okay, good. But are you just putting oil on your face? Because that's not going to be, it's like putting Vaseline on your lips. Like, it's not going to really moisturize. It's going to, you know, block out anything else from coming in, but it's not going to be hydrating. I mean, I'm not a skincare expert, but I am a skincare junkie. Yeah. And I'm glad you said that because it solidified my opinion.
Well, you know, for real and really good hydration, you need a lot of like water-soluble ingredients. Okay. Not just water, because water, it's not like hydrating. Like for example, hyaluronic acid, like all of those ingredients are water-soluble. Oils, what they bring to the table is that they are like food. That's where you get like your natural derived vitamins, minerals, omegas, amino acids, antioxidants. So that's how you think about it. And then it also... they are amazing for your barrier. So barrier products are products that basically kind of like you put them on the layer of the skin and they help soften, they help kind of like smooth out the skin, but they also don't allow a lot of your moisturizer to evaporate from the skin. So they keep the hydration inside and they also prevent things from coming in. But yeah, that's the role of oil. Obviously, really nice oils. I mean, not like mineral oil or just like cheap oils. They just clog the pores and they're not great. But like there's tons of like so many amazing oils that mm-hmm. contain so much food and so much nutrition for your skin. So that's how you should look at it. It's like a multivitamin for your okay. skin.
Thoughts on sunscreen?
It's essential. I mean, sun damage is like the number one cause of aging. And then after that is pollution. It's like the second cause of aging. I think that sunscreens are essential. I would say, and I have to admit that it's like one of my beauty sins. Like I don't use sunscreen every day because I wouldn't use a sunscreen that has like all of the UV absorbers, you know, like all the synthetic sunscreens. And those are the ones that are kind of like clear and they're kind of like lightweight, but they're controversial in many ways, yeah. Not only for coral reefs, but also even like there's a couple of studies that have shown in laboratory animals that they're not that great. So I don't use that, but then the mineral sunscreens, which are the ones that I use when I am gardening, when I'm in the beach, when I'm going to be out in the sun, even though I prefer to put on a hat, honestly. I just feel that they just like sit on top of my skin. I don't feel comfortable. I'm not someone that I'm used to wearing makeup at all. So I just really struggle with sunscreens. It's not by any means that I'm telling that it's not important and that people should do what I do or think what I think. They're super important. It's just like, I just can't stand how a lot of them feel and I tend to break out. So we've been actually trying to formulate sunscreen for many years because it's one of the most requested products from our customers, but I have not been able to make anything that I'm like, wow, I love using this stuff.
Yeah.
And until I don't make anything that I'm like absolutely proud of and I feel that it's like really amazing, there's other lines that you can use, you know, out there doing the stuff that we all know.
Well, I appreciate the honesty. Sometimes I hear from people and they're like, I wear sunscreen every single day and this and that. And it's just like,
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, you know? I know. But anyway, Tata, it's been an amazing experience. If somebody is going to try one product from your line for the first time ever, which one would you recommend?
Do you want to... crazy question. I think that, you know, we have a lot of amazing products and things that are desert island for me, but I think that resurfacing mask is for everybody. And it's one of those products that, you know, it's a product that a lot of people discover a line through. So I would say that.
Okay.
You know, our multi-award winner.
And where can people find and buy your products and find you online?
Online and in stores. Net. Apporter, Space NK, Harrods, Selfridges, Being Content in Mayfair.
Lovely.
In all those places here in the UK.
And your Instagram is?
Dr. Harper Skincare.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.